And now, the thrilling continuation of the SML podcast.
That'd be fun as hell to just game with the devs all the time.
Yo.
Except for that backstabbing prick.
Amazing.
I trusted you.
Yep. And whose mistake was that?
Yours, because now you're on my show.
Well, kind of got you there.
There is a certain truth to that.
So what's up, everyone? This is Joe.
I'm Pappy.
And this is the SML Podcast, episode 161. A special interview today. Some piece of shit backstabbing asshole from Press Play. Would you like
He's
to introduce yourself,
person.
Sir?
I'm Timo. I'm the community manager at Press Play, and I do believe I just schooled these two wonderful gentlemen.
You
hey,
bastard.
I got to the end of the first game, and then I didn't.
You tried, and that's what counts.
Scrap. Yeah, well, yeah, once I figure out how to trust people, it's, oh, hey, look, the directions are right there on the side of my screen, huh? How did I manage
maybe
to go
should,
half an
maybe
hour
I should learn
that?
How to read.
I should learn how to video game.
Vidya games. So, for the people who don't know, the three of us, along with a handful of other fine folks, just spent the past, I don't know, 40 minutes or so playing the Project Knoxville prototype. Would you like to explain to us what Project Knoxville is?
Project Knoxville is pretty much, we're supposed to say it's like a trust-based cooperative, whatever, but the quick and dirty is it's Hunger Games for your PC. It's coming for Xbox as well. We're working on that, but this is just the prototype, so it's a fair bit off yet. As it's standing, you have to get out of this dome, this arena, alive, but you can only do so once you've gathered for certain flags. There are theoretically enough flags for everybody, but human greed tends to dictate that not everybody gets to leave with one, because your score depends on how many flags you get. And obviously, once somebody can win due to the score, people tend to backstab the ever-loving out of each other. So ideally, you kind of walk into this arena, and some of these obstacles, and especially the wildlife and the wolves and bears and stuff, are often too difficult to tackle on your own, so you need a friend. But you also don't want your friend to have all the flags, because that means he gets all the points. So you kind of have to weigh how much do I trust someone compared to how much do I want to kill them and steal their stuff, or how much do they want to kill me and steal my stuff?
Yeah, and the answer to that last one is lots.
Yeah, a lot.
Yeah, way too much.
Yeah, so first playthrough, you guys were really nice to me. You know, I followed around, I got two flags, I got to the ending, everybody was happy. Joe died.
Because I followed you guys and I was betrayed.
Yep. And
by people
second
I trusted.
And third playthrough, you guys stopped being nice to me and I died along with Joe. So that was
last game I survived.
did you get a flag at the end?
Yes.
Okay.
I had two and Jonas stole one of them.
The fun of the game, I say, is definitely that last stand, because when you die, you become an iBot. And then you can stun people, heal people, become, you know, a possessed wolf to attack. And at the end, when there's just two or three survivors and then a bunch of angry, dead, floating iBots.
who pretty much all want revenge.
Yes. So the number of times, because you got to get a platform to come to you, ride the platform to the gate. And that last, we'll say the last climax of every game ended up being the longest portion, because I'm a possessed wolf, let me stand on this so they can't go anywhere and then I can fight them.
Yeah, it's very quickly becoming a strategy amongst people. We're seeing a bit of a meta occur in which people will run through the map as a bot, a drone, and possess wolves and drag them to the last platform and then leave them there and then go get more wolves. So if you're the last two people trying to get off and someone has been dead for a while and they hate you, you're going to have to you're going to have to fight your way through like 20 wolves or something.
That's fantastic.
I discovered that on the second playthrough. I killed off four wolves and then two more showed up and I'm like, oh, I'm dead now.
I thought I was going to have fun this game. No.
Well, you just have to be better. But it's obviously a prototype. So a lot of this stuff is due to change. It's work in progress. But I think we're coming along nicely, and the play sessions we get to do with people kind of teach us whether or not we've tweaked things in the right order. Personally, I would like the stun to go away.
But I abused the shit out of that.
Well, that's actually what I mean. If six people have died and two people are left, it's pretty much the drones who dictate who gets to die, who live or not. I would like to see that be more up to the players themselves, but everything is obviously a balancing act. So it's going to be a bit of give and take.
Weren't you the one giving out instructions to all of us on how to properly stun the one person who was left last time we played together?
Of course. Just because he wants it
so
gone.
So now you want it to go away.
Oh, no. I will abuse any system in play. I will absolutely abuse it. That doesn't mean I can't advocate that it be changed.
Yeah, no, I agree with you, because that stun thing, serious handicap at the end.
You know, surrounded by 16-plus wolves, being stunned for 4 seconds is brutal.
Yeah. But, so, I don't know.
You could always drop the time, I guess.
The only other thing I noticed is when the bear focuses on one person, you can just stab it in the ass and it won't react.
Pretty much.
The bear is absolutely bugged right now. What everybody does, they'll get it to chase them, and then they'll get it to attack into a piece of scenery and dodge it. And then it's just stuck there, and then you just kind of chip away at it until it dies and drops two flags.
Like you said, it's a prototype. So
It's a prototype. I mean, even the graphics and everything, it's all placeholder. It's getting some – phase two is in the progress right now, and it's getting some overhauls. And we're kind of hoping to see what happens there and how people take it. But for now, the only build we have that people can mess with is the test, in which we just find out whether or not it's fun. And everything about that seems to suggest that, well, people seem to be having fun. Even, you know, you when you lost horribly within the first couple of minutes for sucking.
I know while we were testing it, you guys have been discussing whether or not you want voice chat in the game. I think if you are going to have voice chat, you need to find a way to make sure that everybody is in the same voice chat and you disable party chat.
Absolutely. Absolutely. It's one of the reasons we don't want to do it as well. I mean, I would, for the game here, we want the game to be something that it's fun to spectate as well as just play. We'd like the idea of it going out to a community and having them watch it, because if you look at the game, there's a lot of Hunger Games over it. There's a lot of Battle Royale. There's a lot of all this stuff. The Running Man, you know?
Yeah.
And as the placeholder graphics go away, there will be more tech involved, and the drones and the cameras and everything you do, you're being observed. So we would like people on Twitch and YouTube and all this stuff to sit and live spectate matches to get that feel. We'd like them to participate. We are looking at whether or not that's possible and what we can do with that. But if we can go that way, then obviously one of the problems with voice chat is it's not actually fun observing a room with 8 people talking. It's fun observing a room with 1 or 2 people talking. So that's a balancing act. We don't know quite how to tackle that yet. We might opt not to have any voice chat at all. But on the flip side, a bit of banter is also one of the things that helps build this animosity that keeps the game going.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is. And what I can say, I watch a lot of people stream the Gmod stuff, like hide and seek and all that. And I'll tell you, this game, I can just totally imagine, you know, it being streamed and people having a blast. But even if you disable voice chat, you know, you totally know that 4 people are going to jump on and stream it as friends and chat behind the scenes, because that's going to be entertaining as hell.
Well, that's the thing, because as you kind of said there, if we jump into a game and this has become a streaming thing, which we would love it to be, because we think it's a party game. We think it's one of those it's fun to kind of spectate and be part of. But if that happens, then no problem. We don't need voice chat, because people who stream don't want voice chat. They want to be able to just talk to their audience. Yeah. But for those games that aren't being heavily streamed, the voice chat helps tons to get that game going and flowing. So we're going to have to strike some kind of balance. At the same time, as we kind of demonstrated in this game, with me and Jonas ganging up on everyone else, we kind of dominated, because the voice chat allowed us to coordinate and gank 2 versus 1 all the time, and that's obviously something we want to avoid. We don't want 2 people.
It also allowed us to, you know, someone to be like, hey, these two are coming at everybody. Be prepared.
Absolutely.
You know? That's why I liked the pretty much all of us playing were in the same chat, because you guys could scheme all you want, but we could still hear you. If people have their own created Xbox parties or something, they can just plan shit in silence and secrecy, and I think the game needs to avoid that.
I absolutely agree. When we talked about it, some of the developers and I, we talked about the fact that as long as voice is either not there or open to everybody, you're going into the same thing. And I think my biggest fear is, like you said, with the Xbox communities and things like that, that we can't prevent people from setting up some kind of voice chat, external voice chat. We cannot prevent it, you know?
Didn't the 360 have a way to disable party chat in certain games?
It did. It did. And there is a way to do that. But the game is also PC focused.
Yeah.
There's
no way to prevent that on PC.
You can't. One of the things we looked at is obviously that when you play like rank mode or anything like that, you're joining random games. You can't bring your friends. So that's one way to do it. You can't really set up a voice chat with random people.
True.
But we also realized this being a party game, you want to be able to challenge people. You want to be able to take your mates out. So we have to allow friends to invite each other. And once that happens, well, you can't deny the chat.
Yeah.
So we don't, as far as I'm concerned, if some can do it, then all must do it. It's got to be one of those things. We just got to have a fairly easily accessible voice chat. And I also believe, like you prove this game, if two people gang up, everyone else is just going to turn on them. Everyone. And that is that's totally what happened.
And fuck you. So
yeah, we were taken out by the end of that because people had enough of the scheming. So I do believe in mob justice in that regard. I do believe that the game will kind of regulate itself. And I mean, we've been seeing some very interesting things with that. We're playtesting right now at the office. And one of the things we're actually seeing is a meta has evolved of extreme socialism. And it's like literally an extreme case of socialism. Anyone who does not befriend everyone is instantly outed and murdered by the, by the collective.
Yeah, like that happened to be the second playthrough.
Exactly. It's like the Borg. But we've had one or two games where 7 out of 8 people were standing on the last platform together, all carrying different amount of flags, and none of them stole anything from each other. And you look at that and you go, how? How is that? We don't want that to happen.
It's just we all really want to win.
But that's the thing. I think somehow right now, I mean, obviously one of the things we need to do, we need to make it a bit clearer that, yeah, you all survive. But every round has a winner. That's the person who got out with the most flags, you know?
Yeah, it's funny way to emphasize the final score, too.
Exactly, because if you go out, I saw sometimes now when we played, somebody would have 3 flags standing next to somebody with 1 flag. And I'm like, how is the person with 1 flag not forcing the 3 flag person to share at least 1 flag?
Yeah, I gave the flag. I'll be straight honest. Oh, hey, look, he's standing still and I can press E to steal. I'm going to do that right now.
Of course you are. Of course you are. Why wouldn't you? Why would you ever allow someone to benefit off all your hard work and then go out and win at your expense? And the least they could do is share the victory, you know?
True. Like the last game we played where all of us had 2 flags and I still had 1 stolen right as I jumped in the portal.
What kind of a scrub are you being the first one to turn your back to the others after you have all violently murdered 5 other people? You think that these are nice guys? The first person to turn their back on a group gets their flags nicked.
Honestly, the way I saw it is I still escaped with 1 flag. There's players like me who we just want to survive to the end. We don't need the glory. We just want to be part of a lesser glory.
That's when you're starting up. But if you've played this game for days and weeks, I think at a certain point you're going to be like, you know what? I'm sick of just making it to the end. Now I want to win. Now I want to go to that next level and become the mastermind.
Perhaps.
I also think, I mean, obviously there is a certain care bearism going on for some people, and I guess that's fair enough.
You call me a care bear?
Right there, I did, sir.
Son of a bitch.
Care bear stare.
But it's
how
it's,
is it that that's like the worst insult I've ever been given on this show? I've been called everything under the sun, but being just the implication that I'm a care bear somehow hurts more.
Weren't you called Huggy Bear for years, Joe?
Did you? Did you or did you not just tell me that you just wanted to survive, make some friends, go out there in a big old group hug. That's Care Bear mentality.
I didn't say shit about a group hug.
So, talking about that mentality, it's cool because this game allows people to play it different ways.
It absolutely does.
Two or three people jump in as friends and they go, hey, let's just do our best to be the top three in the leaderboards.
We see it. I mean, we see it now. People who aggressively attack everybody don't win games. People who aggressively let everyone else take all the glory don't win games. You need this mix where you realize when to befriend and when to betray. And it's a balance because every round or every game session, you play five rounds. And at the end of the fifth round, you kind of, you know, find out who was the winner and who was everything. And because of this, if you're the biggest douche on the planet in the first game or two, everyone else remembers because you're going back into the same game with the people you just screwed over. You know, they are going to punish you.
Yeah.
So everybody's kind of realizing you can't be too friendly because you're not going to get the point lead that you need, but you can't just, you know, attack everyone either. So it's this weird balance where if you want to be helpful and codependent on people, that's definitely a winning strategy. But you've got to demand what's yours as well. You've got to kind of stand up for yourself. Otherwise, you're not going to win.
It's this great combination to me of you got, like you said, Battle Royale and Hunger Games. But then I don't know if you guys have ever watched this game called Trouble in Terrorist Town.
No.
No,
nope. It's another Gmod one. You know, again, I watched some streamers play it, and what it is you're all terrorists. But when the game begins, a percentage of you are traitors, and you have to figure out via banter and actions who's the traitor and who's the innocents, and then you know the traitors want to kill off all the innocents and vice versa. But yeah, it's talk and actions, and if you just go in and start shooting people, even if you're innocent, everyone's going to turn around and be like, "Oh, you must be a traitor," and gun you down. So
absolutely.
It's got that same kind of feel to it. Like, yeah, I wanna be the high scorer guy, but I can't just, yeah, like you said, I can't just go in and stab everyone and take all the flags because then they're going to be like, all right, well, you're the, in this case, the traitor, the asshole, and we're going to remember that, and it'll carry over in the next game. Hey, you were the asshole last time. We're not going to trust you.
Yeah, but that's absolutely the case. I mean, right now, I believe one of the psychological effects of what's going on is also the fact that everything you do is combined into one score, and
yeah,
that's absolutely not going to be how it is. We want to kind of divide it up so that if you win, you get rank, and that's one type of score. But depending on how well you do and how much you win and stuff like that, you get credits, which you can use to upgrade your avatar down the line. You can customize your avatar, make your own thing, upgrade your drone and things like that. And we also want to grant things like XP to give you abilities and to unlock things. But all this is kind of in the pipeline. So you'll have these three things. So on one hand, you want to be in the top three of every round because you want to advance your rank, you want to unlock new things that way, but you also want to do well and get like a lot of things. So if in one game you can get like a major lead, that might give you a lot of credits, but it'll only give you one advance. Whereas if over five games you're doing the top three, you're not doing like a massive win, so you're not getting all that many credits, but you will advance your rank. So we want to kind of dig into the fact that people can better themselves in certain areas, but are indeed encouraged to pursue certain agendas.
Yeah, I like it. Because even if say there's disabled chat, I could totally see me and Joe, you know, texting, getting into the game, being like, hey, Joe, all right, we're going to team up. Here's the basic strategy. Let's go. And then that
exactly.
way we wouldn't even necessarily have to communicate during the game, but we're in on it, you know. And I don't think that takes away from the game. That actually adds a new level to it to me.
Well, that's actually one of the things we're working on as well now. Some of the lads have been working on a communication system because currently all you can do pretty much is you can trust people or you can detrust people.
Hearing randomly,
I don't trust.
That's the thing, yeah. All you can do is spam those buttons right now. But we are looking at doing like a radial menu with a radial menu. So you have intentions, you have actions, you have demands, and we'd like you to be able to point waypoints at the map so people know where you want them to go. Stuff like that. So that way we can kind of make silent communication.
Which is great, too, because then, all right, say I put a waypoint down and the whole part, you know, everyone playing sees a waypoint. And I know that there's another faction. I could technically fuck with them by putting that waypoint in the middle of like eight wolves.
Well, what I absolutely hope, especially, is that you can eventually do waypoints for your friends and public waypoints. Simply like you said, so you can feint and fake and do these things. But we want silent communication to be a thing, because it just allows for a bit of depth and tactical play, and we have to have the tactical play. There has to be a level and an element to it.
That's some Nintendo level thinking. But theirs is because they're afraid that if people talk to each other, somebody might say fuck, and then their lives will fall apart.
I'm in this channel, and we've already cussed and spoken, so I assume that, you know, we're talking to a mature audience. But it's no secret, I mean, we are Microsoft affiliates. We have to consider what we do. Not because we can't make an R-rated game, but if we do, we have to aim for that, because otherwise we hurt ourselves as developers.
And that's the moment you put an in-game chat in, you're going to have that warning on the Xbox, you know, not responsible for all that, you know.
Exactly. You absolutely are. And one of the things we're wondering is that worth it? Is not because we want to censor anything or say that people can't talk. I mean, even now, once you're a drone and you have nothing better to do, all you do is fly into someone's face and do the exclamation whistle all the time just to annoy them. And that's literally... Trolls will find a way to troll, and I should know. Yep.
My only worry with the Xbox is I've been on record for years as saying my favorite thing is disabling general chat in an online game, because I genuinely hate 50% of the gamers out there for the, they just spew
only 50
angry stuff. I don't know the other 50.
there's a lot of vitriol, there is, and it's definitely one of those things that we also consider. It's like we like the idea of adding all these things, but at the end of the day, what does it give us compared to what it takes? And it's true, an open chat is going to be a slugfest of profanity, just because people do it. You know, just because at the end of the day, and I'm going to say it, some people are just morons.
Guilty. Yeah, so
that's just one of those things, and we obviously have to consider. Is that what we want? Is that the way we go? Is that worth it? You know, so the silent communication is definitely something we're absolutely tripling down on. You have to be able to communicate in a meaningful way, and even betray people in a meaningful way via silent communication, in such a way that people who are observing you can see what's going on. And that's definitely a challenge. Of course it is. But I think it'll be worth it. Absolutely.
And that would be part of the whole spectating thing, where you're watching two people. They just fought off all these wolves at the end, and all these bots are flying around them, and just they're waiting to see what these final two people do. And they're just standing there, and the one just goes, "I don't trust," and attacks.
Well, what I'd really like, once the interface gets updated a bit, I'd like people to have a perceived trust level and your actual trust level, so that your viewers can see whether or not you're double crossing people, whether or not you intend to double play them
based on your previous actions.
But also I'd actually like you to be able to set your like the whole I trust you right now. If you trust someone, you show up as green on their screen, but I'd like you to be able to lie, in such a way that your viewers can see that you're lying. Because that adds tension. That adds a bit of drama.
Wow. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, just the possibilities with this game is phenomenal. And I mean, I know Joe was telling me, he's like, oh, we're doing a build. I'm like, oh, an alpha? He's like, no, like pre-alpha proof of concept.
Prototype.
It might look like this someday, but probably not.
Do you know what? That's actually one of my biggest concerns, and I guess one of my biggest challenges right now when we communicate with people and talk to people and even get them to play, is that anybody who's not been involved in game production before does not know the extent of prototyping. As consumers, we're very, very used to seeing alpha games or just early alpha, pre-alpha, whatever, but I don't think we understand what pre-alpha means, to be honest. Anything you see on Steam Spotlight, Early Access, or anything like that, it's all pretty much done visually. You know, I mean, it'll add features, it'll add all kinds of things, but the visuals are done. They know where they're going.
Yeah.
So People are not used to seeing a prototype in the sense that prototype could be chess figures walking around on a board. It could be nothing more than that. And we're not used to seeing it. We're not used to seeing something that has no bearing on the graphical style that the game is going to end up with, because we're not used to thinking like that. We think that you make the graphical style and then we start making an engine around it and blah, blah, blah. But in reality, I mean, the first version of this game was played with square boxes running around a map of square boxes just to see if the movement could get working. And right now, what we're testing in the prototype is the interaction between players. So the game is so far from done. There's so much we'd like to do, giving people a leg up, crawling down at a ledge and pulling them up, stuff like that. Better sprinting mechanics, interaction with terrain, stuff like that. I mean, there's a lot of stuff. Even the combat system right now is very, very basic. The one we're working on has different attack moves. It's a kind of rock, paper, scissory, but it should kind of telegraph the intent of an attack and thus add a bit of a tactical element as well, your reaction time. Can you manage to disarm him, parry him? Can you see the attack coming and play accordingly? Where right now it's pretty much dodge to one side continuously and stab with your spear, hoping that you kill that guy before he kills you.
So again, you're the things you plan on adding are really going to focus on that interactive element where, yeah, like you said, giving someone a boost. I need to trust this person because I'm going to boost them up above me, and I have to hope that they're going to turn around and pull me up and not just run off going, thanks for the flag, fucker.
Oh, exactly. That is absolutely the point.
Peace, bitch.
But it's also, I mean, if you look at some of the things right now, some of the challenges right now, there are these, currently we're mimicking it with button mechanics. So one person has to stand on a pressure plate. A drawbridge will come out. If he ever walks off this pressure plate, the drawbridge collapses. So the person running over the bridge has to trust that this guy will stay in place, but the guy who stood in place has to trust that the other guy will remain on his pressure plate on the other side and let him pass too.
Yeah, that happened to me in the third game. I saw a guy running across the bridge, and the second person got off the plate and started following him. So I'm like, oh, shit, let me stand on the button so they can get, you know. And then both of them just kept running. No one stopped to turn around to let me across. I was like, oh, well, but I was helpful, dicks.
New players don't always realize that's how it works. But it's also, I mean, obviously some of that stuff has to be better telegraphed and things like that. And that is work in progress. But it's also the fact that, I mean, a lot of the times when you get to the top of a monument and somebody helped you up with a pressure plate or something like that, there will be an uneven number of items on top.
Yeah,
three flags, exactly, or just one flag. Sometimes it's a med kit, sometimes it's whatever. I personally like the ones where there's one too many instead of not enough. Because if there's only one flag, the guy standing on the pressure plate knows for a fact when the other guy goes up that he's just giving away a free flag right now, and he's doing it as a gesture of goodwill so that he has an ally.
Yeah.
But if there are three flags, or maybe there are three flags and a med kit, or maybe there's stuff like that, you know, then all of a sudden it's a question of sharing. Maybe I'll keep the flags, but I have to give you something. So I guess you can have the med kit. I guess you can have whatever. And I like that bit where you have to suddenly prioritize. For me, a single item for two people is not as interesting as three items for two people. Because three items for two people, now you have to figure out how you share. Instead of just grabbing one for yourself and thinking, oh, you can have the next one. It's a different psychological reaction to it. And I think it brings out a lot of interesting things in people.
I feel like this game is going to be used in the future to detect people who are sociopaths at a young age.
I was just going to say that.
Like you go to see your shrink. He's like, just sit down in front of the Xbox. I'd like you to play this game for an hour or two.
Could you just play this with a bunch of random people?
And then after that, they're committed. They're like, what did I do? You know what you did.
We're sending you right to jail.
You know what you did.
You're a terrible person.
It's like a test. You fail this test now, you don't share at least one flag, that's it. You're ending up in juvie anyway. We're just going to say
honestly, I really think that we should have our politicians play this game, and then we can actually see how much or little of a shit they give about other people.
Yeah, but like, you know what the worst part is? For the politicians, you're underestimating this. The politicians will play this game in two very different ways, because in one way, if they know they're being observed, they're going to all cooperate and be very nice. But if they don't know they're being observed, you're going to see something else.
I don't know. I fully believe that if Donald Trump played this game, he would be an asshole the whole time. Even
yeah, but then again, that wouldn't really be a surprise, would it? It's not like we're revealing anything.
I don't think Donald Trump would know how to play this game.
Touche.
He would have like, he would be doing like the old man typing with one finger thing, like trying to figure out what A does or what.
He would actually S. He would be that guy on voice chat that everybody would want to block.
Does his username say Donald Trump? Fuck that. Kill him. I don't know if it's him or not, but I'm not trusting that guy.
No, but I love this. I mean, I love sociological experiments. I absolutely love it. And that's really what this is. You've made a fun game that can also double as kind of a human interaction experiment.
Well, that I actually find, I mean, as we had one guy say it at one point, I think he summed it up very nicely. The idea of humans is to replicate the AI we can't make. And that's generally what it is. You want human interaction because then no two games are going to be the same. If we do our job good enough and make a world that's interesting enough with enough different options to tackle, if you want to maybe avoid people, go a bit your own, do you want to help everybody? Do you want to go high? Do you want to go low? Do you want to just sprint for the flags and get out? Do you want to build allegiances? All this stuff. If you can play the game, the varying different variations of tactics and things like that, then the element that's going to change from game to game is going to be the people. And that's kind of what we want. We want the people to be the experience, because with them comes the narrative and the stories that makes this fun to observe, fun to play, and especially fun to talk about later.
Hey, sometimes you're going to have that perfect game where everyone just decides out of nowhere to work together and eight people with one flag walk out the gate. And you're going to have other games where it's going to be straight battle royale and there's going to be one dude standing on a car with a machine gun. Everybody else.
The worst part is we've had both. We've had both types, and the best types of games are the ones in between. Because where everybody just works together, it's dreadful to sit and watch. Nobody wins. Nobody gets any points. It's so boring.
Well, technically everyone gets points, but they're the same amount of points.
I'm sorry. If everybody wins, then nobody wins. And that's just one of those things we really, really want to hammer in.
Yeah, well, I got a participation trophy, so...
Okay, yeah.
Welcome to the internet, you win the prize.
The last thing you want is a participation trophy for everyone playing. You want a first place and a second place.
But you know what? I would make a participation trophy. I would make it really obvious that I was mocking you by giving you a participation trophy.
That sounds like a good idea for an achievement in the game.
Yeah, I would literally call it, well, at least you tried.
Make it like a 1-point achievement.
Yeah. Like literally the worst achievement you can get. But at the same, I mean, on the other hand, we've had people who go into games and they just absolutely slug each other out before the game even starts. And that's no fun either, because then nobody gets anywhere. You want that tension, you know, not just
fight.
You're
not allowed to accidentally punch Joe in the face.
You dickhead.
Oh, no, I saw that. He took it as well.
Yeah, he took it like a man.
He did.
I swung back. I hit you back, you bitch.
See, this is what the game does. It brings people together.
Sometimes and drives them apart.
I don't. At this point, Joe, I don't know that anything could actually upset us to the point where we wouldn't speak again.
Yeah, maybe.
You've not had a really strong game and then a last-minute flag steal on the finish line. I can hear that. That breaks friendships, man. It's brutal. You're both standing there, you're best friends.
You fucking piece of shit!
Exactly. Just before you jump through the portal, one of you gets stunned, and the other guy stops and he hesitates for a moment, because that's an easy flag right there.
Or it's you're always two easy flags right there.
I do like the idea. I think I would love to see that with two people running, and the guy in front only has one flag. The guy behind him steals the flag, so you watch him jump into the portal and then just fall through the other end.
Yep,
son of a bitch.
I don't. You know, we've seen that. People who have helped each other all game, and they're there with like one flag at the end. And as they run to the finish line, they both have one flag. One will just nick the other guy's flag so he can't leave and then leave himself. It's like leaving your mate behind.
It's, hey, you don't have to outrun the bear. You just have to run faster than the other guy.
How many murders do you think you'll be held accountable for after this game release?
Yeah, this is definitely a game where you need to be good-natured enough to, okay, when I get betrayed, it is just a game. Now, I can still seek revenge next round, but yeah, I do see some people taking this way too seriously, and there will be a couple broken controllers or keyboards in the future.
Yeah, but Dark Souls does that. Dark Souls does that too, so, you know.
That's true. The only game I ever, in my entire life, the only game I've broken a controller was Risk for Xbox. because it the computer basically cheated, made it impossible to win. And I got so frustrated. Yeah, I had 10 armies. I attacked a country with 2 armies and lost. And then the next round, I had 15 armies and attacked that same country that only had 1 army and lost.
And yeah, that's just straight up bullshit.
Yeah, and at that point, I broke my controller.
Yeah.
He just squeezed it and it crumbled in his hands.
But I never get so angry at playing with people. Like, do I get bummed if I'm playing Halo and people are, you know, just blatantly, they're not cheating, but abusing the system to where it's not fun? Yeah, I just log off and play with other people later. I do that with this game. If I ever got put in a random party where, like you said, it's that way too ridiculous extreme where everyone's punching each other in the face, all right, I'll play it. And then when it's done, I'll take note of those names and avoid them.
Yeah, exactly. And that's what people does. I mean, you're always going to have one shit game. You can't avoid it. But we do like to think that by introducing the choice, the options, and the variance of that many people, that it'll be a minimal of times where you have these extremes. I mean, obviously, we're talking about it now as well. Is 8 the right cap for a match? Should we try and up it to 12, maybe 16? We don't know.
I will say, though, 16 at the end, with if 14 of them are robots, that will get almost impossible.
Way too insane.
It'll absolutely change how we do the robots. But the robots right now are being heavily changed anyway. We want them to have upgrades. We want them to have different powers. We want these powers to run on some kind of energy system. Instead of having red packs, you drop battery packs. So you can decide which one of your drone's special abilities you want to use. You only have a certain amount of charges, and so on and so on and so on. So you can customize your drone to fit your playstyle. The basics, of course, are still being ironed out. Right now, we're still testing controls and engine and all this stuff. But that's on the drawing board. That's what we're doing. And, I mean, one thing I would like to see, and this is very much on the drawing board, so it's not set yet at any point, but one thing I'd absolutely like to see, I'd like to see some of the interaction that happens on the map actually being through your drone instead of through the player. So let's assume that you have to, like, get past a ledge and there's too far to jump. And let's assume that you could control your drone to fly out in front of you and make a little platform with, like, an energy barrier. Hmm. But because you're controlling the drone, you can't use the barrier yourself. So you have to keep it stable while a friend jumps over, and then he has to do the same so that you can get over. But the point here is, if you then die, you now control your drone. Nothing prevents you from keeping on making barriers like this and helping your friend, or maybe attaching yourself to his back and giving him a little rocket jump every now and then. So you still feel engaged, you still feel obliged to help or betray or do all this stuff, but you have some kind of effect on the map that isn't just summon a wolf and stun people. I'd like people to actually be able to keep interacting with the game as though they were a player, but not necessarily be able to win it at this stage. Once you're dead, that's it. Yeah. Another thing we've been looking at when you die is placing... we'd like you to be able to place a bounty on people. So,
ooh.
Exactly. So the guy who killed you or anyone you think deserves it, you can place a bounty on them. And if another player cashes this bounty in, they get some credits and you get some credits. So that gives you an incentive to still care about the game, to still try and set things up. Alternatively, you might say, instead of a bounty, instead of revenge, you want to help someone. You want to, like, help your mate. So you set your support for someone, and if he makes it out alive, you both get a bonus. Stuff like that. I mean, there are lots of ways in which we can get people to interact with each other and the game, and to make them care even though they've died, but also make them feel that they have an impact without necessarily being a stun. Because one of the things I remember, I don't know if any of you guys ever play World of Warcraft.
I dabbled briefly, but no, not really.
I can't play MMOs. I'm literally not allowed.
Well, one of the psychological things that went on in the early stages of that game was if rogues came in and stun-locked you. Stun was a very powerful mechanic at the time. And a lot of players reported back that they were fighting the rogue. And obviously the rogue didn't auto-win at any point. That's not the case. But every time they got stunned, they felt that they lost without being able to fight back. Losing control of your character is the worst feeling ever. If you get outplayed by someone better than you, that's fair. But if somebody prevents you from even playing, that's not a significant feeling on your behalf. That victory or that defeat meant nothing to you because you were not in control. So I would like us to get rid of the stun and implement different kinds of aids, different kinds of controls, different kinds of...
I'll be kind of honest. Thinking about the stun, I think some, like, confuse would be just as effective but more fun where, you know, like he would invert their... Or in just even confused and it inverts their controllers for like 4 seconds. So up is down, down. You know what I mean. So they can still, they're not helpless. But now it's like, oh hey, we just added a little bit of a challenge the next couple of seconds.
That's brilliant. Hang on, I'm writing this down. I'm not joking. Give me a second. I'm writing this down.
Hey, I'm happy to help. But yeah, because you were talking about getting rid of stun, but there's plenty of other options like you said, and something like that again. As the drone, you're still like, haha, take that. But as the player, you don't feel completely helpless. It's just a few seconds of added difficulty.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's definitely what I want it to be as well. I think all of us do. I think we all kind of, when we talk and when we look at it, we'd like the drone to be meaningful. We'd like it to be very, very impactful. And we've even considered whether the actual feel is that your human player will never improve. Because you're human and fragile and mortal, but we want your drone to be the thing that gets upgraded, to be the thing that improves.
So
that's interesting.
In some games, it might actually be beneficial for you to die and help your buddy because it might actually be the best way to earn credits at that point in your game.
Well, that's one thing we're also wondering is how to balance this. Because one thing we've discussed a lot. Is that we want people to be able to spectate games that are currently going, just to spectate your friends or randoms or whatever, and we'd like you to be able to place bets on players, but we'd like you to be able to place bets with your own credits. So one version of this is that let's assume that you can place bets in stages of like 100 credits up to a certain amount. And let's assume that you place bets now on a guy. You think this guy is going to win this round. You place your bets at the start of the round. And the more people who bet on this guy, the higher the winning gets. Now, this might sound counterproductive. Obviously, if everybody bets on the same guy, that's stupid. But the people who are betting have no influence on the map itself. And whoever the current round favorite is for winning... His name and his face will show up on a giant screen for everyone else. So if he pulls this off, he and everyone who betted on him gets a lot of credits. But everyone can see that he's the favorite.
Great.
I believe that basic human nature at this point will kick in.
I don't want that son of a bitch being the favorite over me.
And to be completely honest, going back, you mentioned Warcraft and... I don't remember the exact bug, but years ago there was a bug in Warcraft, and it was debilitating. At least I don't remember exactly what it did, but it completely fucked with your game. And what people were doing, like a lot of people who got the bug would report it and log off or whatever, but there was a fraction of people who would actually deliberately run into towns to infect as many other players as possible.
Oh, wow. You're talking very specifically about me. This is amazing. It was from a raid.
Before you get to your side, it was such a big deal that the CDC, Center for Disease Control, actually had scientists and sociologists logging into the game to observe this because they were able to use it as a potential prediction for if there was an epidemic and how to handle it because just like – you know, in a game, in reality, there would be people who would just, for whatever reason, think it would be okay to deliberately try and infect other people during an epidemic. So they used that video game and actually performed a bunch of legitimate published studies for it.
It was a plague that got spread. It was spread to warlock pets, and after a while, everybody in contact, the plague would pulse and then murder everybody. Warlocks could de-summon their pets, and the buff would would stay in place, and then they would go to a densely populated area and re-summon the pet, and the death pulse would spread it to everyone. It was glorious.
Damn, oh, that's awesome.
That is amazing. Now I'm glad I brought this up. That is.
I know that very well. I did it. I did it a lot.
So how do you feel about having been the subject of an actual scientific review?
I always thought it was funny, but it's one of those things. I mean, there is a certain truth to it. I believe that there are two types of people. fundamentally. There are people who want to get along, and there are people who look at people who want to get along and cackle wickedly. And it's always going to be. You're always going to have these two types. People who perceive everyone else as a mark and people who just want to get along. And I'm hoping that we can create some kind of conflict in this game between the two groups, between the trolls and the people who genuinely just want to believe in the best of everybody. Because it's true. If everybody just got along, games would be faster, quicker, and you'd all get some points. But human beings don't work like that. We don't care.
Well,
we
if
want
everyone
to
got
win.
Along, Call of Duty wouldn't even exist.
No.
Which might be a good thing.
But neither would countries. Neither would states. Neither would any of this stuff. We'd all just get along and be besties. And we're not. We're absolutely not besties. You know, it's one of those things. And I don't necessarily think that's a bad idea. I just think it's one of those things that makes us human. Our competitiveness is also, I think, sometimes what gives us that edge. It's what makes us creative. Creative griefing is my favorite thing in the world.
Hey, Joe, you remember that that car commercial with all the British guys talking about why they were always cast as the villains?
Yeah, yeah.
So I think we're meeting one of the real life instances here.
But it's. I mean, I think with a game like this, and I think what we're trying to mess with is. You want to open up for people to do stuff like that, to be a bit creative, to go out of their way, to breach trust. If we can have people feel genuinely betrayed when a game ends, then we've done our job right. We've created an environment in which you feel you have to trust people, you feel you need them to get anywhere, and you do. And it's just so human nature of us, it's just so endemic to our behavior that we will sometimes mess with people just for the hell of it, you know.
Yeah, you've created a game that you can't succeed at alone.
No, you can't.
So it's literally a question of when will the people I'm working with betray me. It might not even be this round. We might make it three rounds, four rounds, where we're all getting two flags each, but that last round, hey man, one of us
all bets are off. Someone needs to win.
Yeah,
but that's the thing. I mean, when is that stun from someone else? When is that, oh, he's got his back turned to me, and I just need one more flag than him to win? When is that too juicy a piece of bait to take? When does the morsel become too, you know, obvious? And I like that. I really like that. We see so much different activity from people when they're going through it, having been together through thick and thin, and then at the very end, they'll betray each other. I mean, we saw it at The Office, actually. People come in sometimes, and they're genuinely upset because somebody they were helping just screwed them over. It's a beautiful thing.
That's pretty awesome.
Oh, I wonder if you might want to be careful how many people in The Office play test together.
we actually at one point there was a negative score attached to people who betrayed a lot. We had to remove it again. people started getting a bit antsy.
Wow.
Yo, Greg from accounting is a real dick. I think we just need to fire him. Why? He betrayed me 7 times yesterday.
But I think that's at the same time it's a very interesting aspect that we take stuff like this personally, because it means we give a shit, it means we care, it means we get into it, and for us that's a huge success.
Oh yeah, you know, you guys are taking one of the most fundamental emotions in trust and building a game around. You have to betray that trust in order to win.
Yeah,
you know, no one person can be good enough to walk away as the winner. You have to work together and at the same time fuck them over at some point.
sooner or later, you have to be open to the fact that you are not going to remain friends. You're going to start out being the most desperate of allies, but you're not going to remain friends. You can't. That's not how you win this game. And I mean, obviously now in its current state, two people can win and they can receive the same amount of points, and that's fine. But ultimately, in the real state, we do want a first, second, and third place. And we want to make a big deal out of who it is so that people care. And then people can help each other and people can do whatever. And that's cool. Some people will still want to. But we want to just subtly beneath the surface keep reminding you that you could have done this little bit better if you were just a bit greedy. But at the same time, we absolutely want to make it so that you absolutely want a friend. You need a friend to do this. Because we also said, the one thing we don't need to do is give people a reason to be dicks.
Yeah.
You know, people are going to do that anyway. What we actually have to do is give them a hell of a lot of reason not to be.
Yeah.
You need to encourage everyone that you have there. You'll need to turn, but you can't just do it immediately.
Exactly. I mean, if the game, if the wildlife, once the AI gets set up and the wolves get tweaked and the bear actually becomes something that you're afraid of, instead of this out in the open, it will just flat out murder you. And anywhere near terrain, you glitch it and kill it. But once all these things are fixed, we want the game to be like hard and bleak enough that you can't go it alone, but constantly remind you that if you were just a little bit greedy, maybe you could get this much further. It's an interesting compromise between the two.
I'm already seeing people doing it. I'm already seeing that. You know, when I was working together with people, hey man, stand on the sledge real quick. Okay. Hey, yeah, thanks for letting me run up the bridge, fucker. And yeah, yeah, exactly. So you immediately are like, maybe if I had just been like, no, man, let me run up across real quick. Maybe if I had just done that right there, I'd have gotten that spear instead of the med pack.
Instead of the spear exactly. In the face.
Yeah. You know, I think your game's already doing a pretty good job of causing that instant regret that, well, maybe I'm being too nice, that it's actually handicapping me now. You know, and then you got to make the decision, well, do I keep being nice and hope there's a chance for me to succeed in the end? Or do I just take that first opportunity? And now it's up to the player to decide, all right, when is the best time?
Absolutely. And that's the thing. That's what we want to do with it. We want to tap into that feeling and the constant doubt. At no point do we want you to trust anyone completely, but we also want you to get so tight after having survived and done stuff together that you will turn your back to them without thinking about it. And therein lies the temptation. It's for me, that's one of the arguments of upping the player count, because I kind of believe that if let's assume that we let 16 people into an arena, you're not going to befriend 16 people. You're not. So you are already there, depending on who you run into first and what happens. You're going to start teaming up and getting a friend and doing stuff and blah, blah, blah. And then you're going to start fighting people. So if you survive these encounters, you've gone through thick and thin with these guys. That's going to make the betrayal even harder.
Have there been any thoughts into making something like a true battle royale where there can only be one single winner, but have... You know, like, was it H1Z1? They do the 50-man battle royales.
We've talked about it and we've looked at it. I think the problem with a lot of these slugfest games is that there is actually no emphasis on true cooperation. What there is a truce, an uneasy alliance. And by doing that with this game, for instance, no one would ever allow the other person to be the one who gets one flag too many. Ever. No one would ever allow their ally to get a spear. No one would ever allow any of this stuff. You know, all you would do is not attack them, but you would only ever try to promote yourself. Whereas if you have an actual ally, you want them well equipped and to do well, because that grants you their trust.
Yeah.
And I think the fact that in theory both of you could win together, that's a huge part of it. The thing that makes it interesting is it's just so much worth it to try and betray them at the very last moment. but that's what we're trying to aim for, you know? You don't know for a fact that you can't trust them. You just know that it's very likely that they'll turn on you. Whereas in Battle Royale, everyone is a target. Everyone is a target.
Well, and I think you did that really cleverly with the whole you have to ride that block to the gate, because that forces you to stand there with your allies for several seconds, a good 15 seconds.
Yep.
Where you're doing nothing else. You're just standing there on this block, and now you have time to think, should I knock him off? Should I stab him and take a or should I just try and get behind him so I can steal a flag just as we're running to the gate?
Oh, yeah, you know? Exactly. I mean, and that's what we see. That's where most of the true betrayal also kicks in. It's on the last platform. I mean, we've had a lot of games where we've seen people who are like a group of three will get on the platform, and they'll stand in a corner, each with their weapons brandished, just staring each other off. Anyone makes a move, you stab them. And if a fourth player comes on the platform and does not have as many flags as the people who are there, they'll just turn on him and kill him. Not because he is a threat, but just because he has less flags. He's absolutely going to make a move.
So that happened the second game. I'm just like, hey, guys, I'm on the platform. I want to win. No.
You're going to die, and you're going to like it.
And then I got revived like six times.
Yeah.
And then you got killed six more times.
I have no weapons.
But that's what it is. Somebody comes in. If I have – let's assume I have seven flags. Let's assume I've had a great round. I have seven flags, and I've got half my hit points left. And some guy comes stand next to me with one flag. There is no way on earth I'm letting him stay there. Absolutely not. If I can't fight him, I'll run. I will jump off the platform. And if I can fight him, I will make it hell for him to stand anywhere near me, because we both know he's going to try and steal one.
Yeah. There's so many elements to this game. It was just a lot of fun to play. I definitely hope I can hop in there once in a while here and catch you guys as you're doing your updates stuff. I'm definitely going to sign up for that. What was it, Joe? The inner circle. Yeah,
inner
I'm definitely going to fill that out, because, and it's a game you can hop in and just play it for half an hour to an hour.
Yeah, easy.
And oh man, yeah, it was a lot of fun.
I'm glad you guys enjoyed it.
Yeah, I definitely want to try it though without chat, just to see how it feels. your only option is trust, don't trust.
The thing with chat right now is everybody has to have played it at least once or twice in order to play with no sound, because it is a prototype. There's not a lot of tutorial going on, which means you need someone to tell you how to play the first couple of times, hence the voice chat service.
Yeah.
But once you get that going, we don't talk to each other in the office when we play anymore. We just play. And we still get a lot of stuff going on. So.
And then after the game, because of the betrayals, you don't talk to each other in the office anymore.
You get a bit of peace and quiet.
It's just glares and middle fingers.
So do you have right now the prototype's called Project Knoxville. Do you guys have a plan to change the name, or are you going to go run with that as you build the game?
Prototype names never stick. It's a philosophy when you pick a prototype name that you have to pick a public landmark or something like that. Something that can't be copyrighted.
Oh, we thought it was just Johnny Knoxville.
No, it's literally it can't be copyrighted, which means that I'm not even sure we can use this name, if you know what I mean, because we can't copyright it either. But it also means that nobody can prevent us from using it as a working title.
Okay, so is the final title going to be called "Screw Over Your Friends"?
Some clever abbreviation of that.
Betray Your Friend Simulator 2016.
Fuck Joe in particular.
Sounds. I'll write these down. They sound fitting. It's,
If I see it come out and it's called "Fuck Joe in Particular," and we don't get a thank you in the credits, I'll be pissed.
Well, you feel slightly honored.
Why would they thank you? It's fuck you.
So, are you guys considering any form of offline or single player content for the game at all, or is it strictly going to be online only?
I don't know at this point that we will think of anything single player that makes sense.
Yeah. I'll be honest, I don't. Other than just doing that little tutorial where you can run around and get a feel for the map, I don't really see anything.
A proper tutorial is being made. We are working on it, and it takes you through all the ropes. It teaches you everything you need to know. From sprint jumping to befriending to sneaking to stealing to backstabbing. There's a tutorial that takes you through everything. But other than that, the key to the game is human interaction, and you know the magic that happens when people stab each other in the back. So I don't see that we can make this single player.
Right, because I know one of the big things with online games lately is so many people seem to kind of avoid some of them because either you need to be there on day one, or if you're a month late, you're already too bad at the game and you're never going to be able to get good at it because everyone else has been playing for a month. Or you have cases where, like, a lot of older games, like Counter-Strike Go for the 360 just became compatible with the Xbox One and it's completely empty. And is there a concern of longevity with the game?
That's absolutely one of the things that we are discussing and talking about, because we'd like to divide people into tiers. We'd like to divide people into kind of you do with motorsports and I don't know, boxing or whatever, where you have these tiers, heavyweight, lightweight, and all this stuff, based on how many upgrades you've got for your drone. So let's assume that you get level one drone control or level two drone control. You get to choose one of three abilities, but only one of them. Now, you might have chosen something that gives you a slightly faster sprint or maybe a jump or something like that. But anyone that you are now playing is the same tier as you and have access to the same. They've had the same choice. They might not have made the same choice, but they had the same choice to make. So as far as I'm concerned, that makes you even. Games like World of Warships, World of Tanks, World of all the stuff work in the sense that the tier that you are, you will meet people one tier up, one tier down, mostly, never out of this. There are exceptions, of course. But it means that you can downgrade your own tier if there's not enough people playing. But you are still locked into a certain tier. You're not going to meet a total noob when you're completely kitted out. Because that's one of the things I find with things like Call of Duty, Titanfall, all this stuff. You find low-level players playing high-level players, and that just makes it not fun, like you said. If you're late to the party, that's it. But if we kind of tier gate to some extent, then at least you should be meeting people who've had the same choices and options as you have. But you are right. This, of course, requires a community that's active and there. Otherwise, the servers will be empty. But as we get closer and as we move out to the prototyping phase, we hope to be able to put some playtests out that are close enough and good enough for people to actually start going in and signing up and playing a lot more. Currently, it's because it's just a very, very, very kind of bland prototype for what we hope to do in the long run. Yeah. We don't have a lot of people in. Of course we don't. But we do hope to remedy that. And I mean, currently we're dividing it. I will be doing a lot of American time streaming. I'll be taking up American time streams and American time PlayStations while my colleague will be doing some of the European ones. Because we know that being Xbox and being everything, we have a lot of people on the US side that we'd like to reach out to. And being a European company, it obviously means that sometimes that's a bit of a challenge. But I'll be doing that. So I will be setting up sessions hoping to build a bit of a movement on the US side of things and then hopefully get that ball going. Because if we can get the crowd, then yeah, we can start dividing it in tiers and new players won't feel that they just get completely curb stomped. But it requires momentum, as you say.
Yeah.
Because this is the perfect game for streaming, though. Like, because there's always something happening. And like you said, you can hop on a stream and watch one guy playing, and you can even hop on another stream and see the same game from someone else's point of view. And I think that'd be a lot of fun just to watch and kind of go, okay, are they going to play the asshole? Are they going to be subtle with it? Like, I can't wait. This game was a lot of fun, and I can't wait to see more people get to have the experience with the product.
I'm very, very glad to hear you say that.
So is this the only thing that Press Play is working on right now? I know originally you guys had a fan vote of what, like four different prototypes that you
were
looking
at? Three different
prototypes. Three different ones?
It's the only one we're working on right now, and it's also the first time that the company does that. We've always had a couple of projects running at once, but this time the entire studio has doubled down just to make this one thing. And it's also slightly bigger and I don't know if I call it more ambitious than the others in term of gameplay or anything like that, but it's more ambitious in term of technicality and what it would require to get it working. So it needs all the attention and the entire focus of the office to do it.
Is this looking to be a full retail title?
As it stands right now, I absolutely assume so. We hope to bring you a launch for E3 as well for a better view at it. So we are going big on this one.
Nice, nice. I know your previous games, you have Max, Curse of the Brotherhood, and Kalimba, which were both downloadable titles. I actually had someone who wanted me to ask, will we see more Max or Kalimba sequels, DLC, anything?
If I'd have written a list of questions I knew you were going to ask, that would definitely have been
That's the one that I was told I needed to ask you. So
we have absolutely not given up on any of these franchises. We can only work on one game at a time. And especially in this case, because we've done Max twice, we just did Kalimba now. then some Kalimba DLC, and they're all amazing games. But creatively speaking, the reason we could even do a vote on what game to do is because the office itself had started playing with a lot of little ideas, and they were becoming little prototypes. And then we decided to look at it and go, well, do you know what? Which one of these should we play with now? We feel like challenging ourselves. We feel like doing something we haven't done before, and to see where we can get these creative juices going. Once that is done, once we have done that, then there's absolutely nothing preventing us from revisiting any of these games, which I imagine we will. But for the time being, we're trying to see what we can do that's a little different than anything we've done before. So I believe the official PR comment is we may.
Well, the official PR comment is shut the fuck up about
this. Here's to hoping that this game does so well that you guys have all the time and the money in the world to pursue whatever you want next.
Oh, we absolutely hope that too, because I mean that bathtub with caviar does not fill itself.
And you have a very limited time to eat that too. So.
You do. You have to keep filling it. And the worst part is, caviar tastes horrible. No matter how much really expensive champagne I wash it down with, I never like it.
I always understand.
You're not bathing in it long enough. You need the ball juices to mix with the caviar.
Is that what it is?
I never understood caviar, because it's like, hey, fish eggs. Okay, cool. That's a nice little idea. But really, they're made out of salt.
Oh yeah, no, it's like tiny salt pellets.
Yeah. I've never had it.
I don't think I ever will.
In Japan, caviar was a lot more common just on sushi. So I always enjoyed it as just a little dollop on top of a piece of like a great piece of tuna or a good roll or something, where there's other things to keep the caviar from overwhelming the shit out of your taste buds.
Yeah, I still have no interest in actually trying caviar.
Caviar is pretty much just colorful salt.
Yeah, the best part is when there's that little one, the little one that just hides in the gap of your teeth, and you find it like 3 hours later.
Mentioned sushi, that kind of reminds me of another game that is sushi, well, not sushi, but like squid-ish related. Tentacles Enter the Mind?
Yes, and Enter the Dolphin.
Whoa.
Where is Enter the Dolphin available?
Fairly sure you should be able to find
it. Wait, the tentacles enter the dolphin? Because that's hentai level stuff right there.
Because I'm happy to own Tentacles Enter the Mind on my Windows phone. Is Enter the Dolphin available on Windows Phone?
I'm actually, you know what, for the first time I'm unprepared. I'm actually not sure. One sec.
Oh, hard-hitting questions from the SMB.
Oh, that is, isn't it? My God, you caught
because
me unprepared.
Because I would love to see more titles release on the Windows Phone, preferably with Xbox support, and I would love to see...
It is Windows Phone. It is Windows Phone and iOS.
Joe would love to see more tentacles on his phone.
I do love tentacles.
It's they are wonderful, but it's actually also a very fun game.
Yeah, I think Joe and I are one of like 8 people who still have Windows phones. I know when I went to buy my new one over the summer, the clerk was at Verizon looked at me like, "Are you sure we sell these?"
I'm going to remember now that I am on air and who I work for, and go, "Oh no, they are amazing," and I use.
Oh no, they're amazing. I love my Windows phone. It's just a shame that it's. I really feel like Microsoft is already like, you know what? This Lumia thing isn't working out. We're done. Because they couldn't get the new phone activated. They had to call the main store. And no joke, I'm listening to the clerk, and he's talking to them. He's like, yes, we have it. Yeah, here's the code. No, it wasn't misdelivered. Yes, I'm really looking at it. Jesus Christ, guys.
Wow. I think the problem with those phones is they were a really good idea, and everybody's kind of looking at them and loved how they played together with your other gear, especially your Xbox and so on. But the 2 or 3 apps you could get in total was just not enough.
And honestly, the popularity of iPhone and
Android.
Android. I'm thinking of the particular phone. Damn it. Joe, what's the one with the commercial you hated?
Everything Samsung related?
Yeah, the Samsung Galaxy. Thank you.
Android.
I'm just saying, like, if you go to my workplace, you will see specifically iPhones and Galaxies. Yeah,
like,
and okay. Galaxies are damn near tablets. I don't understand. Like, it doesn't even fit in my pocket.
Those are the two brands. You've got the Galaxy Minis, the Galaxies, the iPhones, and I don't even know if they make a Mini. I assume they must. And that's pretty much it for phones these days. But I also think that's a problem with the Windows Phone in a lot of regards. It didn't really deliver what everybody was expecting, which, to be honest, was just the exact same phone, but with the brand they preferred.
Yeah.
Instead, it delivered something entirely else, and I'm not sure people were ready for it.
I honestly think that Windows Phone can still easily be saved, but I think Microsoft kind of gave up too quickly on the Xbox integration with the phones.
This is their Vita.
There's so many games that come out now that don't have Xbox integration, and from what I hear, a lot of it is like the certification is too strict to get the Xbox integration and achievements and everything else. And every time I see a new game release on the phone and it's not Xbox enabled, I don't buy it. I bought a Windows phone to get Xbox games on my phone. And I'm not even finding Enter the Dolphin on there. So I don't know if it's an older game that's not compatible with my device or what. But
Yeah, I shan't be able to say. I mean, I know a lot of the focus was changed when Windows 10 came out because they wanted to go platforming instead for PC. But I'm actually not aware of what the exact different cycles are that they're operating under. It's true, there's not as much compatibility as one would like.
Yeah, I hate the fact that I've bought some games and then they're pulled and I could just never get them again. That sucks.
Like, or just be like me and only play Wordament ever.
I want to get more phone games. It's just no one's releasing Xbox-enabled games on the phone that much anymore. And I, like, Square Enix was really good with Final Fantasy and Hitman Go and the Lara Croft Tomb Run, but then they released Lara Croft Go and that didn't have support, and I'm like, well, there's $5 I'm not getting. Fucking Minecraft on Windows Phone doesn't have Xbox integration.
That's actually really? Kind of funny.
Minecraft on the Windows, fucking Microsoft game doesn't have Xbox.
That is kind of funny though.
That's
yeah, no, that's hilarious.
That is kind of funny.
That's some bullshit.
That's one of those oversights that you kind of wonder how that happened.
I still need to pick up Max and the Cursed Marker.
Curse of Brotherhood.
I'm talking about for the Windows Phone.
Oh right.
Max and the Magic Marker.
Yep.
Yeah, I still need to grab that one day. Oh, I have Curse of the Brotherhood. I got that. That was a launch day purchase for me on the Xbox One. I love that game.
It is one of the more creative things I've seen them pump out. that was before my time, but I'm a fan as well.
That Kalimba was fantastic. I like that DLC came out for that. I think Kalimba would work really well on a Windows phone. Hint, hint. Maybe bring tentacles to the Xbox One.
But I'm actually wondering, a game like Kalimba, if you think for half a second, once that game picks up in pace, it's hardcore ass.
True.
Are you sure you'd actually have the controls on a phone for that?
Well, then Kalimba Match 3 puzzle game.
That's a puzzle game.
That's the joke we make with everyone on this show. If they're like, I don't know if that game would work well on Windows Phone. Well, then make a Match 3 puzzle game. Everything works. Everything works as a Match 3 puzzle game.
So you'd have a Match 3 Knoxville puzzle game. You do realize, though, that that means that your rows, just as you're about to get 3, will actually backstab you, steal one of the other things, and now not fit. That's how this Match 3 would work. You'd set them all up, you'd get it all ready. And then the very last minute, they're going to steal one of your tiles, so nothing works, and then you lose.
I kind of want to see you guys make that game now. A Match 3 puzzle game that is actively trying to fuck you over.
So I got to ask my quick patented question here before we run out of time. When you're not actively working on or testing your game, what other video games do you like to play?
Oh, I'm literally holding my breath for XCOM 2. That game cannot arrive fast enough. I hate that I have to sit and wait. I'm an old-time League of Legends interviewer. I did that for a while, so I do like my League of Legends. And I've just started playing World of Warships, and I've no idea why. I can't explain why. I looked at the game and I thought, I'm never going to play that. And then I sat down and I played it, and it's like Sen. It's literally Sen. You sit there plodding along your course, shooting bullets at ships and thinking, well, that didn't hit. Let's try aiming a few degrees that way. I don't know why it's as much fun as it is, but it takes up all my time right now.
So that's like me in threes, you know. I'm not really sure why I keep playing this game, but it's so relaxing, even when I'm not doing what I want to do.
Exactly. Literally, exactly. It's like Sen. It reminds me of the old Silent Hunter games. And I like plotting out torpedo courses and seeing what happens.
Nice.
I mean, really, doesn't everybody?
Exactly, exactly. So
things exploding are always fun.
They are. They're like the best part of any movie.
But things exploding when you've actually put some thought into its angle and trajectory is just even more appealing.
It is. It's a bit of the head's the Sen. It's just firing off and then sitting there, watching it going, please, please.
Joe, do me a favor. Bring Battleship to MAGFest.
I don't own Battleship.
Fuck you. Don't come to MAGFest.
Okay.
All right.
There you go.
Yeah, there we go. All
right.
We should get press anymore. Play to MAGFest. That'd be cool.
Oh, jeez. We need to get everybody we've interviewed to MAGFest.
And just have one group interview of like 70 different developers all talking at once.
Honestly, my big thing is since I'm going to be in the billiard suite, I just want to shoot some pool with these guys.
You should give them all Nerf guns. See what happens.
Even better. Oh, my God.
That's how you lose an eye.
Oh, no. Paintball guns.
That's how you get banned from MAGFest.
That is how you lose an eye.
I love paintball. There's no way in fuck I'm giving paintballs to drunk devs. All
right. I think it'd be fun. Idea, no. I think
that's how they lose their own eyes, really.
Then the game gets canceled, and we're to blame. And then we get press and attention.
Yeah, but I'd rather do what we're doing now, like giving actual suggestions where the guy we're talking to goes, holy shit, let me write that down. You know, I'd much prefer that than forcing an eye patch onto somebody.
To be fair, that's the first time a developer has been like, oh, that's actually a good idea. Let me write that down.
That's the first time in my life someone's actually said that to me.
Yeah.
How did that make you feel?
Great.
Scared.
I'm going to ride that high all day.
I'm scared. Mm-hmm. I don't know what happened.
Just cuddled
right.
In my blanket.
I don't know how this happened. But...
And on that note.
On that note, we are a little over an hour now, so I want to thank you for joining us with this and playing with us and showing us the game. What kind of potential release date are we looking at? Is that something that might show up this fall or into next year?
Being a prototype and not even an alpha, we're a little bit out yet. I'll leave it at that. I've learned from all the other companies' mistakes.
So May, we're looking at May.
Yeah, late February. It's
oh wait, no, this isn't an EA release. So June.
Anytime you need more people to jump in and get betrayed, just absolutely. I think Joe and I both agree on that. We'd love to hop in.
I would absolutely love to have you again.
Yeah, the funny thing is, after we played last time, you're like, yeah, I'm going to be doing another playthrough tomorrow at the same time. I jumped on to the Discord program, and I'm just sitting there like, I wonder if they're going to show up.
They were actually late. They had some sick fall.
No one showed up.
That was a pain. But that's the problem with the prototype right now as well, is that the servers tend to be a little empty because we're only using it for testing purposes.
Yeah.
But once a build comes out that's more than a prototype, the inner circle is the place to be because you can always have the newest edition of the game there and just go play.
Yeah, so I'm definitely going to have to sign up for that myself since last night didn't work too well with Pappy and I.
I'm going to go sign up too. That was, oh man, yeah.
I totally forgot about that. I thought it would be like a self-updating client. Nope.
we're far from that yet. So... But with that, lads, I'll also say thank you for having me.
Thank you for joining us. I'm not sure if you got my message about trying to get music for the show, if there's anything you're able to share with us.
I wasn't able to procure. There's an artist called Rumpistol who did a lot of the stuff for Tentacle, which was the stuff that most would fit what you said, but I wasn't able to procure any of it, unfortunately.
So what music should I play? I've been having such a hard time trying to pick music for the show because I space out on what to, I don't know, I'll play something. I just go through my folders like, nope, played it, played it, played it, played it, played it, boring, boring, played it, played it. So there will be some form of music playing when we're done talking.
There you go.
But do you have any final words for our listeners?
Well, actually, yeah. Since I'm coming U.S. side, and I assume most of your listeners will be U.S., I hope to see you guys join us as well for when I do some sessions in your time zone. And by all means, you know, sign up, and I'll gladly stab you in the back.